You're listening to the Pursue God Men's Podcast, the official channel for biblical manhood at pursuegod.org. Find resources to talk about it with your family, men's group, or mentor at pursuegod.org/men.
Welcome back to the podcast, men. It's Pastor John. We're in the second installment of this series that we've titled, Is It a Sin? We're taking a look at different habits that you may have always looked upon them as sinful. And I certainly hope you know that my heart in this series is not to give us freedom in the extent that we would try to push boundaries. That's not the heart behind this. My heart behind this is just to help us to think biblically, that if we look upon a habit as sinful, that we have a biblical precedent for that. And maybe some of these habits you didn't look upon as sinful, but God is going to use this series to bring conviction into your life. So that's my hope with the series. I also hope it brings up great conversation between you and your sons, between you and your mentor, you and your small group. So let's go ahead and get into today's conversation. And today's conversation is going to be about smoking. And we're going to cover both tobacco and marijuana. And we're going to hit tobacco first. And I'm going to cover some times, in my opinion, where it's black and white that smoking is a sin. And the first situation where I think it's black and white that smoking is a sin is if you're addicted. 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul is writing. He says, "You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything." Paul wrote in a time to the Christians in Corinth who, because they knew they were saved by grace, many of them were starting to just live however they wanted to live. In fact, that was even some false teaching that was going on, that, you know, as long as you believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he died on the cross, then you're free to do whatever you want. And Paul is reminding them that's not God's plan. Not everything is good for you. And Paul says, even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Physical addiction is sin. If you get addicted to a substance, if there's something that controls you, that's sinful. And it doesn't have to be just physical addiction. It could be emotional. You know, if there's something that you have to get you through the day, I would submit to you that that is sinful. And we know how addictive tobacco is. We know how addictive nicotine is. And not to throw anyone under the bus, but the tobacco companies are counting on the addictive power of tobacco. They're hoping you get addicted. They're hoping you're smoking multiple packs a day. That's how they make their money. That's how they meet their bottom line. I'm not saying that anyone who ever smokes a single cigarette will become addicted, but chances are pretty good you're going to become addicted. So even if you're not addicted yet, is it wise for you to go down that path? You know, we're talking about, are these things sinful? But I would hope that our desire as men would not to just live a life that isn't sinful, but that we would want to live a life that exhibits wisdom. The Bible encourages us in multiple places to pursue wisdom. So if you are smoking, ask yourself an honest question: am I addicted to it? Could I not smoke a cigarette for the next 30 days if I wanted to? And if the answer is no, then that's sinful. And I would really encourage you to start making a plan to free yourself from addiction. And I can't really coach you on whether to just stop cold turkey or whether to, you know, to wean off of it little by little, but I would definitely pray about it, ask God to give you wisdom on the best way to quit, and then I would start putting in steps. The other thing I would ask you to consider is, even if you're not physically addicted, is smoking a cigarette your go-to when you're feeling stressed out? So if you're having a tough day and you feel like the only way you're going to get through the day without blowing up is to sit down and smoke, I would also say that that is sinful. Now, we use things all the time to help alleviate stress: exercise, you know, watching our favorite TV show, going for a walk, talking with our spouse. I'm not saying that you can't use things to help cope with stress, but if it's your primary way, if going to the Lord, if praying about it, if asking God to help you through a difficult situation, if that's not your first go-to, we need to change that. We need to let God be the primary way that we deal with stress. And then we can use some of these other ways as a secondary approach. But just ask yourself that honest question, is tobacco the primary way that I deal with a stressful situation? And again, if that's the case, then I would ask God to give you victory in that, to give you freedom in that. The second way, or the second circumstance, maybe we should say, when I think smoking, it's black and white, that it is sinful, is if you're underage. So if you're a teenager listening to this, if you're listening to this with your dad, and you're not of legal age to buy or smoke cigarettes, that's sinful. Why is that a sin? Because God has told us to submit to human authority unless they're asking us to do something that is contrary to his authority. 1 Peter 2:13 says, "For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king is head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right." We are called to submit to those in authority unless they ask us to do something that goes against God's authority. And I know those words, submit and authority, make us bristle a little bit. I understand that. I experience that myself. But the reality is, one of the things that earthly authority does, one of the reasons God has instituted it, is it reminds us that we all submit to his authority, that God is God and we are not. And there are going to be times when you need to submit to something God is calling you to do that you don't even really understand, or you may not like it. It may not feel right to you. Because I confess, I think some of the laws around tobacco and alcohol, they don't make a lot of sense to me. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I remember in the state that I live in, at one point, you could smoke tobacco at 18, but you couldn't purchase it until 19. Now, I don't know if that's still the case. I didn't check into it for this podcast. But that just makes no sense to me, that you can smoke it at one age, but you can't purchase it for another age. I also don't think it makes sense that you can vote. They think you have enough wisdom and enough maturity to vote on leadership in our country, and you can't choose to purchase tobacco. So that doesn't make sense to me. But the reality is, guys, we don't just follow the laws that we like or the laws that even make sense to us. You know, I got into an email debate with a guy who told me it was my moral duty to not follow laws that didn't make sense. That's not my moral duty at all. Now, it is a moral duty not to follow a law that contradicts what God has asked me to do. But just because a law doesn't make sense, or just because I don't like it, that doesn't give me the right to disobey it. If we only obeyed the laws that we fully agreed with, this would be a pretty chaotic place. So knowing what the law is, whether we agree with it or not, is something that we need to submit to. And if you're smoking and you're underage, then that is sinful. A third area where I think it's pretty black and white that smoking is a sin, and I know this is a men's podcast, so this may not relate directly to many of our listeners, but that would be if you're pregnant. Let me give you some medical information. This is from the CDC's website. If you smoke while you are pregnant, you are at an increased risk of a wide range of problems, including miscarriage and premature labor. Babies whose mothers smoke during pregnancy are at higher risk of SIDS, so sudden infant death syndrome. They have a higher risk of having weaker lungs and having an unhealthy low birth weight. And then if you have young children in the home and you're smoking around them, we know the dangers that secondhand smoke can cause. Now, you may not think that's fair. You may not think you should have to give up something you enjoy for others, but that is the Christian life. You know, we submit to the needs of those around us and their desires all the time, particularly in our family. So if you're pregnant and you're smoking, that's sinful. And I would just encourage you as soon as possible to develop a plan to quit, to ask God to give you the strength to not smoke while you're pregnant. And then lastly, for the men, another time when I think it's very black and white that smoking is sinful is if your wife doesn't want you to smoke. Ephesians 5:25 teaches us how we're supposed to love our wives. It says, "For husbands, This means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. As husbands, we are called to give up our lives for our wife. And that doesn't just mean that we have to take a bullet for her if the circumstances called for that. I think most men, that would be the easier thing to do, would be to die for our wives. But God calls us to live for our wives. He calls us to give up our life for her. That means we give up our preferences. We give up our desires. We give up our goals for her. Now, that doesn't mean 100% of the time. If there's something that you feel God has put on your heart as the leader of your family to do or to accomplish or to plan, and you've prayed about it and your wife has prayed about it and you just can't come to the same conclusion, I do believe the wife is called to submit to her husband in that. But you're going to have a hard time convincing me that God has called you to smoke. I just don't see that. There's no way that God has called you to do that. So if you're smoking tobacco and your wife has asked you to stop, if she'd prefer that you give that up, to continue on in that is not loving your wife like Christ loved the church. Again, you may not like that. You may feel like that is handcuffing you in a way or that it's not fair, but that's the way God has called us to love our wives. I remember when we had two children, I was done. I was ready to be done at two, and my wife wanted to have a third child. We had two boys, and she wanted to try and have a girl, and I dug my heels in for a long time, and eventually God convicted me, and he said, "Why are you so stubborn on this?" Because I hadn't felt like God had directed me that we were supposed to stop at two. It was just my own selfishness for financial reasons, for time reasons. And God said, "I've called you to give up your life for your wife. And if this is something she desires so deeply, why are you holding this up? You know, don't you think you would love this child just as much as your other two, you know, once she's pregnant?" And of course, I knew the answer to that was yes, that once we brought this child into the world, that I would love this child as much as our first two. And so I remember going to her and saying, "Honey, if that's really what you want, if that's your desire, then let's go ahead and have a third." And of course, then God, in his sense of humor, we ended up having a fourth, which just seems to be how God works sometimes. So those are situations where I think it's pretty black and white that if you were to continue smoking, it would be sinful. And I do want to just briefly say, I think this also goes the same for smokeless tobacco. If you're chewing, if you're dipping, I think these same scenarios that I've laid out where I believe it's sinful to do so would also be sinful to use smokeless tobacco. I don't think it's just smoking. Now, I can picture that some of you all along are thinking, "Why do you keep saying in these situations, Pastor John, smoking is always sinful, period? It doesn't matter how frequently or how infrequently, if you're smoking, it's sinful because your body is a temple and we're called to protect our body and treat it with honor and respect." The verse you might want to quote to me would be 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." I think that is a valid point, but I will say if that's the point you're going to use, that smoking any cigarette or any cigar, even once, is sinful, then you need to apply that uniformly across your life. You cannot pick and choose when you want to treat your body well. So if you would argue that smoking is sinful based on the fact that our body is a temple, I would ask you, how much diet soda do you drink? Because studies have linked diet soda to be cancer-causing, or at least to increase your risk of cancer if you're pounding down, you know, 4 Diet Cokes a day with all that artificial sweetener in it. Or even if you don't drink diet soda, just sugar. Processed sugar, too much of it is clearly not healthy. So if your perspective about smoking is that my body is a temple, so it's sinful to smoke, then you need to apply that same standard across the board. Now, I think that's okay to apply that standard, by the way. I think if you feel conviction that smoking a single cigarette is sinful, then for you it is sinful. I mean, that's what Paul gets at when he talks about eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols. You know, if you're conscience, if you're convicted that you can't eat a piece of meat, don't eat it, Paul says. He's not encouraging us to go against our conscience. So if your position is smoking a single cigarette is sinful, then I appreciate that position. And I would just say, I want you to honor that. I mean, that's the position I have is I've never smoked a cigarette. I don't ever intend to, but I'm not going to accuse a brother or sister in Christ of sinning if they have a cigarette every now and then. The problem is, as we talked about earlier, is not very many people can do that. For most of us, it's going to lead to an addictive habit. And so even though it may not be sinful to just smoke one here and there, is it wise? You know, I have a good friend, a brother in Christ, who told me that every now and then when he has a phone call with his brother, he likes to sit on the front porch and smoke a cigar. He's not addicted to them. As far as I know, his wife hasn't asked him not to do that. He's not using that to get through the day. You know, all of these things that we've looked at up to this point, none of those situations are the case. So I don't know that I could look him in the eye and tell him what you're doing is sin. And he is a brother that does take good care of his body. He exercises pretty regularly. He's not overweight. So if he's following God's commands to watch his body, to take care of his body in those areas, personally, I would have a hard time telling him that smoking a cigar every now and then when he's on the phone with his brother is sinful. So if your perspective is it's sinful because the body is a temple, again, you have every right to have that perspective. I just want you to have integrity with that. I don't want you to apply that to smoking, but not apply it to your diet or to not apply it to exercise. Because if our body is a temple, which it is, again, I'm agreeing with that, and that's the standard you're going to use, then you need to be uniform in how you use that. Before we move on to talking about marijuana, I also just want to talk about the financial implications of tobacco use. So I mentioned the areas where I think it's black and white that smoking would be a sin. I want to talk about one that potentially is sinful, and that's if you're not managing your resources well. So if you're in a situation where financially, you know, you're in debt, you're behind on bills, and yet you're spending money regularly on tobacco, I think that's sinful. And I'm not just limiting that to tobacco. That could be to anything. You know, if you're going out and eating out at a restaurant four or five times a week, but you're behind financially, that too would be sinful. So again, we want to just be uniform. We want to have integrity in the way that we apply the Bible to our lives and to how we live. Okay, let's talk about marijuana. And I think marijuana is different than tobacco. And I'm going to submit that it's different because of the different way that it affects our body. So again, from the CDC, I want to read some information about how marijuana use affects our physiology, affects the way we think, etc. So marijuana use directly affects brain function, specifically the parts of the brain responsible for memory, learning, attention, decision-making, coordination, emotions, and reaction time. What are some of the short-term effects of marijuana on the brain? So just not necessarily long-term use, but if you were to say, well, I only smoke every now and then. So recent marijuana use, so if you've used marijuana within the last 24 hours in youth and adults, has an immediate impact on thinking, attention, memory, coordination, movement, and time perception. This is important, guys. This isn't something that takes years and years of use to happen. It's not something that only happens if you smoke it frequently. Every time you smoke marijuana, it has an immediate impact on thinking, attention, memory, coordination, movement, and time perception. Okay, those are the short-term effects. What are the long-term effects of marijuana on the brain? Well, it affects brain development. So particularly developing brains, such as those in babies, children, and teenagers, are especially susceptible to the harmful effects of marijuana and THC. The scientists are still learning about the effects of marijuana on developing brains, but the study suggests that marijuana use by mothers during pregnancy could be linked to problems with attention, memory, problem-solving skills, and behavior in their children. Using marijuana before age 18 may affect how the brain builds connections for functions like attention, memory, and learning. Marijuana's effects on attention, memory, and learning may last a long time or even be permanent, but they do indicate more research is needed to fully understand the effects. Youth who use marijuana typically do not do as well in school and have trouble remembering things. Not only the physical impact, but I want to talk about the mental health impact of marijuana. And then we're going to go back and I'm going to look at some passages, some scripture to back up why I think any marijuana use, if it has THC, and we'll get into this in more detail in a little bit, is sinful. So regarding mental health, marijuana use, especially frequently, so daily or nearly daily, and in high doses, can cause disorientation, unpleasant thoughts, feelings of anxiety, and even paranoia. People who use marijuana are more likely to develop temporary psychosis. So that's when you're not sure what is real, you know, what are hallucinations. It leads to paranoia. They're more likely to develop long-lasting mental disorders, including schizophrenia. The association between marijuana and schizophrenia is stronger in people who start using marijuana at an earlier age and use marijuana more frequently. Marijuana use has also been linked to higher instances of depression, social anxiety, thoughts of suicide, suicide attempts, and suicide. I want to go back to God's Word, right? We look to God's Word in all that we do to talk about why those effects of smoking marijuana are such a big deal and why smoking it is sinful. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for our great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to develop." Throughout Scripture, there is a call, and I think even a stronger call for men as leaders to be alert, to be on the lookout. You and I as men, particularly as husbands and fathers, one of our roles is we're supposed to be scanning the horizon for danger for our family. We're supposed to be looking out for things that could become a trap to our children and to our wife. We need to have heightened senses. We shouldn't be using anything that is going to dull our senses or that's going to have a negative impact on our decision-making ability. The devil is not stupid. This idea that he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour is he's looking for the right opportunity. He is strategic about it. And you and I need to be alert. You know, watch out for your great enemy. It's keep watching out. This is an ongoing endeavor. This is something we don't get a break from, guys. We have to be alert. And anything that impairs your mind and prevents you from doing that is sinful. Peter has a lot to say about this. I'm going to use another verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Peter says, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world." Prepare your minds. This takes effort. This takes focus. This takes energy. And if you're smoking something or eating an edible, if you're doing anything that is dulling your senses, that's the opposite of preparing your mind for action. And Peter should know, not that I'm accusing Peter of marijuana use, but Peter knew the agony of failure. Peter knew what it was like to have that mindset that there's no way I can fail. I'm strong enough. I know I'll be able to handle it. That was Peter's attitude when Jesus warned him that he was going to desert him 3 times, right? And Peter says, "No, Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I'll never forsake you." So to make that boast and then only to have it all come crashing down in failure, Peter knew what it was like to fail. And I think in this charge to the Christians that he's writing to, Peter is saying, guys, I know what it's like to fail. I know what it's like to not have self-control. You've got to prepare your minds. You have to mentally be ready. You have to ask God to give you the power to have self-control. See, in the second part of that verse, he doesn't say put all your hope in your strength. He says, put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. One of the best things you and I can do as men is to remember how prone to weakness we really are, to remember how desperate we are for God to be the one working through us, that if we try to have victory in these areas in our own power and in our own strength, we are likely going to fail. Let me give you one more verse. This is in 1 Corinthians. So now this is the Apostle Paul writing. Paul says, Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong and do everything with love. Paul, much like Peter, challenges the Corinthians to be on guard. You've got to be alert. You've got to be looking for threats. You cannot do that when your mind is hazy. You cannot do that when you're using something to escape the world. You can't do that when you're using something that takes you out of the game, right? I mean, really, marijuana is kind of an escape tool. People that use it are using it to escape reality, to escape the heaviness of the day, to escape decisions they have to make, to escape stress in their life. We're not called to escape. God wants to work in you and through you to have an impact on this world, to make a change in this world. And for us to do that, we've got to be alert. We've got to be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. I think it's interesting that when Jesus was crucified and he was offered the wine mixed with myrrh, that he refused it. I don't know a lot about that. I did some research, and it would not only dull the pain, it was used as a painkiller, pain reliever, but it also would dull their senses. And so I think Jesus refused it for a couple of reasons. Number one, Jesus had said that he wouldn't drink from the fruit of the vine until he drank it anew in the kingdom of God. And Jesus always keeps his promises. So even if it wasn't mixed with myrrh, Jesus wouldn't have drunk it. But I think Jesus knew that he needed to be fully invested. He needed to be fully aware of the pain and the agony. And clearly he didn't want to do something that may cause him to sin. You know, I think of the scene in Braveheart where she tries to give William Wallace drugs before he's killed to dull the pain. And he says, I need my senses. You know, I don't want to act a fool here at the end. And so if Christ, with the weight of our sin and guilt and shame weighing upon him and the physical pain he's going to have to endure, wanted to make sure that his senses were heightened, how much more so should we do that? Now, I'm not saying painkillers are wrong, guys, but I'm talking about a painkiller that has a psychogenic drug to it. So I want to mention briefly, well, what about CBD oils and CBD products that can be used for pain but don't have the psychogenic effect? So it's my perspective that if you're using a CBD product that is THC-free, that doesn't have any of the psychogenic elements to it, that you could use CBD oil as a painkiller. Now, I confess I'm still learning more about that. I'm still researching that, but I would hate to lay guilt upon someone who is using that as a painkiller but not experiencing any of the high that you get from the THC. I wouldn't want them to feel guilt and condemnation over that. Now, again, I think that's something that you individually have to be led by the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit says, no, for you, I don't even want you to use those types of products. If you feel guilty, if you feel conviction over that, then don't use them. But I think we need to be careful about judging another brother and sister in Christ or even a non-believer who may use those products to medicate pain as long as they're using the ones that are THC-free and they're not getting a high from it. They're not experiencing the psychogenic part of marijuana. So that's why I want to close this up, that really, I know maybe you're looking for a yes or no answer, that, you know, just give me the simple answer, John. Just tell me, can I do it or not? There are definitely a lot of black and whites in Scripture, for sure. But there are also some areas where you just need to be led by the Spirit. You need to pray. You need to ask for wisdom. And I would say, guys, that we have this tendency in all areas of our lives to try and get as close to the line as we can without sinning. And I think that is the wrong attitude. I think our attitude should be, I want to be as far from sin as possible because we know what sin caused. Sin caused the death of Jesus Christ. Our sin caused him to have to leave the comforts of heaven to come down and take on flesh and go to the cross and be brutally tortured and treated like a criminal. And our sin did that. So as we grow in our faith, as we become full circle followers of Jesus, I hope that our attitude is more and more, God, I want to keep sin as far away as I can, not I want to see how close I can get before it turns into sin.